Today on Real Life Radio.
What the Lord has said is called the Bible, and it's on your lap. Then why do we conduct ourselves the way that we do? Then why do we, why do we think the way that we think and allow what we allow and do what we do and do not do what we do not do? Do we believe what he has said?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Faith Has to Do. The book of Luke gives us insight into the humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, really could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 7, we'll see how extraordinary faith cries out to God, knowing there is no other. You see, faith says anything is possible with God. Faith reaches out in our darkest moments and gives us hope for a brand new day. The Lord wants to be with us and to change things in our lives that are distressing us. He wants us to rise up out of our guilt and feelings of unworthiness and to call upon Him for help. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when it's dark, we can look to the Lord for life. To see a situation through the eyes of faith draws us closer to the Lord. To believe the impossible is knowing that the Lord sees us and has compassion towards us. Now, in his message called What Faith Has to Do, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The disciples were there. They were, by the way, they were experiencing, anyway, faith and training. The crowds were there. We don't know what they believe. It's too soon yet to see what a crowd believes. Crowds are always tough in a crowd or even in a big church. You never know who believes what. You never know who's a Christian or not in a big crowd. The disciples are there. Their faith's in training. The crowd is there. We don't know anything about them. Jesus is going to do something, though, radical here in a moment. It's very powerful what he's going to do. Look at the second thing about faith being able to see in the dark is that when it's dark, we can look to the Lord for life. It says at the latter end of verse 12, and the dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, for she was a widow. Do you hear the desperation in this? Luke is recording this. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And I read that and it struck me. Church, listen, any one of us here who have lost anyone that we love, does it matter, church, does it matter how big the crowd is when you lose someone? No. When you've lost someone, it doesn't matter how big the crowd is. In a strange irony, there's a big gathering of people, but she's all alone like never before. You ever felt like that? And who can help you? Who can rescue you but God only? On this day, death had done its thing to this woman, and the grave was opening its mouth soon in a matter of moments to receive her son. What hope could there be? Her life would be swallowed up with the death of her child. She had nothing left. The dead man was carried out. And you could say, well, you just might as well have him scoot over and put her in it too. Because it's over. And I love the fact that Jesus has a plan. She was surrounded by this great crowd of people, yet never being so alone as she was then. And I thought about that, and for those of you who are too young to have lost someone, maybe your best girl broke up with you yesterday, or your best guy. Maybe something's gone on in your life. Do you know that feeling in your stomach? It's that weird thing. It's like a hole. It almost is like a flu feeling, but it's emotional. And when you lose someone, there's that pit, that void in your stomach. And I don't know about you, when the news comes, it's tough enough. But do you know what's worse? Tomorrow's worse. Tomorrow's worse, the day after, the day after. Then it kind of gets a little bit better, sort of, kind. It's never the same. Okay? And then just when you think you're getting better, you're going to make it, it's Christmas time. Or Thanksgiving, or it's summertime. We always went here on vacation, or whatever it might be. There's this grip. You know, death loves that. You know, Satan delights in that. Jesus said, I have come to give life and that more abundantly. But the enemy, that is the enemy, Jesus doesn't have any enemies. It's our enemy. God has no enemies. He can just snap his finger and it's over. You and I have enemies. And our chief enemy, Jesus said, has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. What do you do in such situations like this? You look to the Lord for life. Where are you going to go? See, Pastor, that sounds awful desperate. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I can't offer you anything else other than the God who comes through when it's desperate. He's perfect. Yeah, tomorrow would come. Think about her mourning. It's a dream. That didn't happen yesterday, did it? Yeah, it did. She would awake to a house with no more feet running through it. She didn't have little pots and pans to get moving again to feed that little guy ever again, that young man. She never again would have the chance to say, put your coat on before you go outside. Do I have to tell you? I've told you 10 times. I'm going to tell you, put your jacket on. No more. In that casket lay her future. 2 Samuel 12:23 says, David cried out to the Lord about his dead son and said, he is dead. Why should I now fast? Can I bring him back to me again? But there shall come a day when I shall go to him. But for now, he shall not return unto me. Christian, there's coming a day. If your loved one died in Jesus, you're going to go to them. You're going to meet them. It's pretty awesome to do the funeral of your mother. In fact, I got in trouble for this. And I know family members that listen into this radio program, they're going to hear this in the Midwest and all. But that's too bad. It's the truth. I did my mother's funeral. She accepted the Lord 4 weeks before she died. And she couldn't read enough Bible before she died. In 4 weeks, she just took off onto that Bible like a tornado. And when I did her funeral, I'm sorry, but I didn't have anything to cry about. I couldn't get the smile off my face because the overwhelming reality was there is going to come a day when I'm going to go see my mom. And that hit me so hard. The power of God was so upon me. I just couldn't believe it. And I got in trouble with my family because I didn't cry at my mom's funeral. They didn't think I cared. They didn't think I understood. But look at poor Jack. He even did the service. And he didn't freak out like the rest of us. He must be in denial. Denial? I was in the Word. And I was rejoicing that I'd be separated from my mom for a short period of time. I'd be separated from my sister for a short period of time. Then my dad dies. The week of his death, he calls me and he says, listen, can you tell me about Jesus one more time? Oh, brother, you should have heard that conversation. I made it impossible for my dad to get saved. You hear what I'm saying? He was a proud military man. I said, Dad, you don't want to hear this. I've been telling you this for 20 years. No, I want to hear it now. No, you don't. You don't really want. It's all about sin, Dad. It's all about a cross. It's about him who loved you, who you don't believe in. You don't want to hear about that, do you? I want to hear about it, son. Tell me again. Nah, you don't really want to hear that. Tell me again. Well, your sins have separated you from God, Dad. And there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. It's exclusive, Dad. There's no other way. You can't do it on your own. You can't do this on your own. You can't make your own way, Dad. You've made your own way all your life. You've grabbed yourself by the boots. You've pulled yourself up. You've done it all on your own. Not this time. Not this. You're going to a place that you know nothing of because you don't believe. And he said, what do I need to do? My dad accepted the Lord, and 7 days later, my dad was dead. Or I should say, he was alive in the presence of Christ. There's hope in the midst of darkness when everything seems impossible and not going to work. And look at our second point, verses 13 and 14. What faith has to say is to believe in the impossible. Then the Lord saw her. Oh man, this is too much. Can you circle that? Then the Lord saw her And he had compassion on her, and he said to her. And you will find no more tender words recorded in the Greek language flowing from the mouth of Jesus. Do not weep. Normally in the Greek construction, when the Bible is communicating something, it will say, stop it. When you say, for example, do not be deceived. The word in the Greek says, stop being deceived. It's a strong word. It's a command. It's don't be deceived anymore. Stop it. Not here. Jesus, it's incredible, you guys. In fact, I'm inviting you not to believe what I'm going to be telling you. Go search it on your own and be blessed beyond measure. The wording that Jesus used could not have been more tender. Why? Well, he saw her. The word here for saw her in Greek, listen, is the word to behold her as taking her into his heart. We would use the word, he studied her. The word means he climbed into or got inside of her skin. The word implies that he assumed her plight. He took upon himself her life. This is how Jesus would have us to look at people. He saw her in a moment. Maybe Peter said, oh, look, here's another funeral. Man, there's another funeral. Oh, look, boy, there's a lot of people. They all got their headlights on. They're all in a motorcade. Wow, this kid was loved. What's the deal? Oh, she's a widow? Man, tough luck. Whew. Maybe James would have even said, well, we need to pray for her. Not Jesus. He looked at her and he fixed her eyes on her and he studied her. And he looked at her and he got inside of her and he felt everything she's feeling. That's why it says the next response of his is that he had compassion. It's amazing. Believing, listen, church, believing in the impossible with God. When he says to her, don't weep, verse 14, he says, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him, that is the dead man, stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And what I learned from this, what we learned from this, is that believing in what the Lord has to say, believing in what he has said, that's, you guys, listen, this is what it's all about. You say, Jack, come on, man, move on. Where do you know this? You know what? You don't know this. I do not know this. What the Lord has said is called the Bible, and it's on your lap. Then why do we conduct ourselves the way that we do? Then why do we, you know, why do we think the way that we think and allow what we allow and do what we do and do not do what we do not do? Do we believe what he has said? The Bible, the Old Testament, was there for them to read, and I'm sure they read it. Listen, it has been said that the loss of a child is the most unnatural thing to have happen to a parent. Carl Jung, in his book, said, losing a child is like placing a period in the middle of a sentence. Did you hear that? Losing a child is like placing a period in the middle of a sentence. It makes no sense. It doesn't work. Kids are built to get old. They're supposed to run and stumble and fall and eat ice cream and climb trees and play with frogs. This was that woman's life now. And Jesus knew her story. And it almost sounds, church, if you didn't know, if you and I didn't know the rest of this book, you would say, do not weep. When he said, don't weep, it almost sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it? It almost sounds insane. See, you and I have the advantage of knowing how the story ends. He says, don't weep. Just don't weep. What are you, nuts? Can't you hear people crying? The whole city's out here weeping. What do you mean? Oh, he's got a plan, all right. Funerals, dying, death. People say things like this. We've all heard it 1,000 times. Well, you know, I know you're hurting, and it's just something we have to accept. It's a natural thing. I understand what they're trying to say, but let's be really honest. When's the last time you've been to a funeral? There's something very unnatural about a funeral. And I do funerals, and they're still unnatural. You want to know why? Life's interrupted. This doesn't work. What are we doing here? This life has been interrupted. Hey, I had to take time off from work. I had to fly in from Seattle. I had to rent a car. I got to go to a funeral. Inconvenience. It's supposed to be an inconvenience when you look at it, at what Satan loves and what the world does to us. Did you know that Jesus wept at funerals? Remember Lazarus? Jesus wept. The Bible says there was no death in the world until sin entered into the Garden of Eden. Then death started. God didn't make death. Death is brutal. It's an animal. It doesn't care. It can't care. But isn't it an overwhelmingly strange sense that something's very wrong? The Bible makes it very clear that death stings us. Hear me out. Death stings us to the heart. There's no doubt about it. And let's be honest. If you remove Jesus from the factor, it stings us to the heart, to the core, just like the crocodile hunter got stung straight to the heart, to the core, and died. Death stings us in the heart, and it will kill us. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how cute you are. It's after you. It's after me. Another thing is this. If you leave Jesus out of the factor, let's be honest, the grave wins every time. We joke around a little nervously about it. There's two things certain in all of life, taxes and death. One we complain about and one we try to uncomfortably laugh away. My mother grew up in Hawaii. And my mom didn't have shoes until she moved to San Diego. She grew up running around Hawaii. But with all that Polynesian stuff and all of the foreign, strange, thousand weird Polynesian gods, my mom knew that stuff. And my mom would drive around town to avoid a graveyard because she thought that the Menahunis were going to get her. All this stuff that death haunts people about. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. That's paganism. You're exactly correct. It is. But I got to tell you right now, without Jesus Christ, the corporate executive wheeling and dealing the world is haunted by death. Because if Jesus is not in the factor, death is a sting and it's fatal. And the grave has jaws and it will never open its mouth. The Bible says the grave is forever until you introduce Jesus into the factor. Jesus destroys it. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, "Sting, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What does that mean? Let's read it backwards. Jesus Christ took care of the law. He fulfilled it. By doing that, he took away the law's ability to condemn you because he satisfied it. By doing that, he imparted to us his righteousness, taking away our sins. By doing that, he freed from you and I the terror of death. Oh, I may die today. You could die today. But Christian, that's not the end of the story. In fact, for us who are Christians, it's the beginning of the story. Can you imagine a little baby inside the womb and it's dark in there and it's time for, you know, there's contractions. And it's 98.6 in there in fluid. That's like going to the Bahamas, man. That little baby's in there. Oh, this is so nice. And then, what was that? She's just getting smaller in here. More of a push. I think I better turn around and get my head first and see where we're going on this thing here. And more pressure, things from behind. The room's getting tighter and tighter. You start to hear interesting sounds. And very, very slowly, a little door begins to open up. What in the world is going on? I wonder what that baby thinks at that moment. Can you imagine? I am not. The room is white. There's people with masks on. The lights are bright. I see a tunnel. I'm not going to do this. The Christian, death for us is just a door that swings wide open into the glory of God. And we better wake up to the reality and understand that if you don't have that hope, you are hopeless, man. You ain't got nothing. I got $1 million. You have nothing. You have zip. Well, the Bible teaches us in John 11:32, that when Jesus had compassion, it was manifested in a different way. In John 11:32, it says, then when Mary came, this is the death of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. The meaning is that Jesus was grieved over the power of what death has done to man. Verse 13 tells us in this chapter of Luke 7 that he had compassion. Powerful. Secondly, verse 14, believing in what the Lord is saying. Now, he says, church, grab this. If we don't make it any further than this today, grab this. What is he saying? And listen, I want to be honest with you. Don't tell me later, Jesus is saying to me, and whatever you say is totally not biblical. Jesus is not saying that to you. Whatever Jesus says, it's biblical. Whatever Jesus says, you can find in the Bible. When Jesus speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when God the Father speaks to you, it's found in the Bible. Are you with me, everyone? Make no mistake about it. There's a lot of people running around, and I met some this week, that God tells them, listen, God tells them this on Monday, and then it doesn't happen. Oh, God told me about this, and I'm to marry this person, and God told me that. And then, you know what? That didn't happen. I wonder why God did that. God gets all the blame for what someone made up in their head, for what their emotions wanted to tell them. Whenever God speaks, it will be in pure alignment with the Word of God. Every time. He cannot contradict himself. He's not a liar. His word is true, and what he says is the word. Simple.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Faith Has to Do. We're glad you joined us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, hey, everybody, you know that we are excited about always presenting and encouraging you to get a good book in your hand. Nothing beats the Bible, obviously. But outside of that, this one, I believe, is one worthy of every pulpit, pastor, congregant. Everybody needs to read the book written by Eric Metaxas. Eric Metaxas has written a letter to the American church, and I want you to definitely get your copy. It is fascinating. It's prophetic. It's historic. It's current. Eric Metaxas has done an amazing job in speaking, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to the current church in America and where she needs to go and what she needs to do if she's going to be a witness. Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas.
That's Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. And that's Pastor Jack's book of the month for the month of January. You can pick up your copy of Letter to the American Church for a gift of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.